Go ahead and take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And let me just kind of tell you what we're going to do. We're going to talk a little bit here about this verse in particular. We're going to look at it. This is the theme verse for what we've chosen as the theme for our midwinter retreat. And we're going to talk about that here for just a second. After we're done talking about this, we're gonna sing through our theme song one more time, just kind of solidify that in our head. Then we're gonna release you for somewhat of an extended group time, and the youth workers will kind of tell you what's gonna happen in there. But we're just gonna kind of launch things off here together and get us thinking a little bit more about this theme for the midwinter retreat. Galatians chapter 2. Hopefully you found your spot there. Before I go too much further, just want to say a couple of things. Number one, forgive our construction here tonight. The units apparently aren't working, and then we have a few holes in the roof. And so I appreciate everyone being patient. Those of you who maybe just realizing it because I said something, we're hoping to get that fixed and worked on. So it makes us thankful for the problems that we don't have. Certainly this is unusual for us. But anyway, the other thing is this. In regards to the midwinter retreat, if you've paid tonight, you can go ahead and get one of those, one of the theme bags. And I encourage you, when you get that, go ahead and look on the inside. You'll probably see a little tag. You're going to write your initials on that. There'll be a lot of these kind of floating around. And you want to keep track of yours, make sure that you know what's yours and what's not. So as soon as you receive that, and if you've paid, you can pick that up tonight. We've got the box back there. And just don't go grab one. Make sure you see a youth worker. Check in with them. Make sure that's taken care of. And then I had another thought, and I wrote it down. Saturday morning, make sure you eat, all right? Eat something hearty, okay? Maybe at Hardee's even, okay? But eat before you come, all right? That's the point. Make sure you eat before you come. Don't come expecting a three-course meal at 11:15 because it's not going to happen, okay? We'll get a little something in mid-afternoon, but like I said, it's going to be a little something, all right? So eat lunch before you come. You say, well, I never eat lunch until 12 noon. Well, change it up, all right? And eat before you come, okay? Then we'll get into some bigger meals later. All right, Galatians chapter 2, you're there. Let's go ahead and look at this verse here. I love this verse, but notice what it says here in Galatians 2, verse 20. It says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Tonight, if I could just kind of put a title on the thought that we're going to look at tonight, and that is this, is I just want to emphasize Christ. If I could do that tonight, I mean, Christ is everything to our Christian life, is it not? There are sometimes people like to emphasize certain aspects of the Christian life. From time to time, shirts that have Philippians 4:13 on there. You know, I can do all things and that sort of thing. And, you have these different verses and that sort of thing. And you know, when you read Galatians 2:20, if you just read the first part, it can be really confusing. You say, what is Paul talking about? He says, for I am crucified with Christ. Well, that's kind of an interesting statement. But I want to draw some things out of this particular verse and notice couple of principles that I've just grown so fascinated with in regards to what Paul is saying here about our lives, the lives that we should live as Christians. Notice number one, I see an association here. I see an association that Paul is drawing. He says, I am crucified with Christ. What is he doing? Paul's identifying himself with the death of Christ here when he speaks of the crucifixion. Now understand that in our world, in our terms, typically, we don't like to identify ourselves with death. I mean, you know, for the most part in our world, very few people, you know, go around talking about death unless they're maybe really depressed. Okay, and hopefully there's nobody in here that you know would be of that nature. But you know, the world in many instances doesn't know how to handle death. All right, but for the Christian, it's quite the contrary. And Paul uses here an analogy and draws our attention to something that's got some deep spiritual significance. And so when he says, I am crucified with Christ, he's choosing to identify himself with the suffering or the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Now, understand this, that there are moments in our lives where maybe we feel more bold than at other times in regards to our association with Christ. And you know, peer pressure can be involved with that. There are a variety of settings that maybe we would shy away from. But you know, understand this, that's not something new. I want you to notice with me, go to Luke chapter 22. Notice Luke chapter 22, just briefly here. You can keep a finger there in Galatians 2:20. We'll get back there, but Luke 22. I want to draw your attention here. Notice, let's see, towards the end of the chapter, notice verse 54. Yeah, I want you to notice this. Look at what the Bible says. Then speaking of Jesus, then took they him and led him, verse 54, and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. You see, there was a time in which your association with Christ could be very lethal. People could lose their life because of the figure, the polarizing figure that Jesus Christ was. So we see here even one of his close disciples is following afar off. Turn to the Gospel of John. Going to your right, John, and notice with me chapter 20. This is chapter 20, and we'll look here at verse 19. Okay, again, talking about this idea of associating ourselves with Christ. It's something that we don't always do very naturally, and Christians have struggled with this before, but not only did Peter struggle with this. Look at John chapter 20, verse 19. Look at what it says. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And then we have Jesus coming to them. But understand this, the disciples were where they were and had been for a little while after the death of Jesus because they were scared. There was a part of them that didn't quite know how to handle it. They didn't want their association with Jesus to be known to other people. But understand, go back to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Understand that is not Paul's approach by any stretch. In fact, he is drawing attention to his association with Christ and specifically pointing to the crucifixion of Christ. Now, what is Paul saying here? He says, I am crucified with Christ. I want you to think about that phrase. Now, was Paul literally saying that when Jesus hung on the cross, Paul hung on the cross next to him and he was crucified along with him? Was he saying that? No, he wasn't. Okay, this is figurative speech here. Okay, but what is Paul saying here? He is saying this. He's saying this, that when he accepted Christ, he died. Now I want you to think about that because that's significant. Okay, he's drawing attention to the sacrifice of the Savior on the cross for all mankind, and Paul wants to draw himself close to that and contextualize the Christian life this way. He says this. He says, listen, when I accepted Christ, it's as almost as if you fill in your name, died. Okay, so when I accepted Christ, it's almost as if Scott Devane, at his core, died along with Christ. I want you to notice, you're in Galatians chapter number 3, I want you to notice a couple of other verses here. Notice Paul actually draws attention to other areas that he died to. Look at verse, let's see here, I've got it written down. Verse 19, notice what he says, for though through the law, for I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. Understand this, before Paul accepted Christ, okay, we would call him a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Okay, he understood what the law was. You know, there were people who were trying to justify themselves by the good things that they did. Okay, and Paul basically says, hey, you know what? I had to die to that way of thinking. You know, there are people all over this world who have the same concept. Okay, for them, living is good things. And somehow, if they can acquire enough and do enough good things, that the Lord will somehow eventually let them into heaven. Okay, Paul says this. He says, listen, understand this in regards to my Christian life. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, I died. My complete self died, but I died to the law as well. That means that thinking that said that I could somehow work my way to heaven, anything that I could somehow do in order to gain acceptance, that philosophy, that thought process, that religion, whatever you want to call it, that died too. But not only did he say he died to the law, but understand this, that he also died to the world. He also died to the world. He says, for I am crucified with Christ. In other words, he died to trying to please man. You know, some people live their whole lives just trying to please other people. You know, that's a hard way to live. That really is. Because, quite frankly, you can't please everybody. It's impossible. Hey, everybody's got their own standard. Everybody's got their own thing. You look to the world, you know, you look at the trends that they say, hey, this is in, this is out. Hey, if you're anybody, you'll keep in with, you'll be doing these things and you'll be saying these things. And, boy, who would want to live up to that? You know, I was talking to somebody the other day that was telling me that when they got saved, he said that they were surrounded by a group of Christians that seemed to be only concerned with what the world was doing. And they somehow wanted to draw this line and somehow be a cool Christian to where they, yeah, we do the Jesus thing, but also, hey, you know, we're involved in what's on cutting edge, what the world's doing and what we want to be associated with. And we want to see them, you know, pleased at the things that we do. You know, that person that was telling me that, they said, you know what, when I got saved, you know, and I was surrounded by those Christians who thought like that and spoke like that, he said that was one of the biggest turnoffs. He said, because I had, you know what, I had lived for the world. I mean, that was my M.O. That's what I lived for. That's what I wanted. You know, that's all I wanted to do. But when I met Christ, boy, I died to that. I died to that because it's not the world. It's not a law per se, but it's the truth of Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. He died to the law. He died to the world, and he died to self. Galatians chapter 5, go with me there just quickly. Galatians chapter 5, I want to show you this because this is, you want to know who you are at your core. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? Jesus talking about the heart. Said a lot in that passage, but Galatians chapter 5, this is what pure man looks like, okay? All right, you take away Christ, all right, you take away anything that is good, and this is where you and I are, and this is what we produce in ourselves. This is the best that we can produce in ourselves. Notice Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 19, notice what this says, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now listen, this is what we are at our core. Hey, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past. They which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And it goes on to list the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, but this is man at his best. Okay, is producing all these things. And you know what Paul is saying? Paul's saying, listen, I died to all of those things. I died to my goals. I died to my dreams and what I could do in my flesh. I died to all of those things. Because when I accepted Christ, my identity became him. And I identified with him on the cross. When I accepted Christ, Scott Devane died. That was the day that I died. And notice what he says next. I love this. Not only does he say, he draw attention to an association here, but notice the amazing realization. Turn back with me, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. He says, nevertheless I live. And then he explains it. He explains it. Nevertheless I live. Well, what do you mean by that, Paul? He says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. An amazing realization. You know, there are a few ways that we can view the Christian life. And I want everybody to think about this, because this verse is just packed so many different things. There are some ways that we can view the Christian life. One of those ways is this, is that God takes me and makes me better. You know, that's some ways that people view the Christian life. They say, you know what, I bring on the God thing and he makes me better. You know, and some of those thoughts are geared towards the idea of, you know what, now God's going to solve all my problems. You know, now God's going to give me whatever I want. You know, now, and when I get in trouble, then the Lord, you know, when I call on him, he's going to take me out of that problem. Okay, some people look at the Christian life that way. You know, I add God to my life and then he kind of takes me and I access him periodically as I live. Okay, that's one way to view the Christian life. Somebody else says this, I accept Christ and I work my whole life to get better at being a Christian. Okay, let me give that to you again. I accept Christ and work my whole life to get better at being a Christian. Okay, this view focuses on doing. Okay, you wake up in the morning, you say, oh, okay, now I've got to do all these things if I'm going to be a good Christian. I got to constantly do this. Oh, I forgot to do this. Oh, okay, I got to do this. Okay, this view focuses on doing. Let me give you the third view, and that's what this is what Paul is saying here. This third view is this, I accept Christ and allow him to live through me. Okay, I accept Christ and allow him to live through me. That's what Paul is saying here. He says, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. You know, when you accept Christ as your Savior, he sends his Holy Spirit to live in your life. And that Holy Spirit is constantly working in our hearts, okay, to be more like the Savior. Okay, so it's not so much of, you know, hey, I became a Christian and now I got to do. Okay? No. Okay? You became a Christian and that's who you are. In other words, Christ is in you. It's not about a list of things to do. It's about submitting to what Christ is already doing in your life. Paul says, you know what? When I get up in the morning, I don't live the life of Paul. I live the life of Christ in me. And that's the beauty of it. You know, we can look at the Christian life as, boy, I just got to do all these things. It's a list of things to do and do. No, it's about being who you are. And the beauty of the truth behind this verse is the fact that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul tells us how to continue in acting, allowing Christ to shine through us. One of those ways is submission needs to take place. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18 talks about how we behold in a glass the glory of the Lord and are changed into the same image of Christ, and how that's brought about by the Spirit of God in our life. Paul mentioned here not only submission, but he mentions also faith. He says, how is it that we allow Christ, who is in us, to shine through us in our Christian life? Well, faith. We do that by faith. And we wake up in the morning, we say, Lord, I want to, as the Scripture says, to be Christ-like. How do I do that? Well, Lord, I take this next step in faith. Lord, I take that next step in faith, believing what you said about yourself and your word, and believing how you can change me from the inside out. So we see submission, we see faith, and then appreciation. He says, who loved me and gave himself for me. So you say, what's the main thing you're trying to get across here? Well, that is we're emphasizing Christ, but we're emphasizing it's not your life. It's Christ living through you and in you. Okay? Do you wake up every morning and you think about, boy, I just have all these, boy, if I'm going to be a good Christian, I got to do all these things. I got to do all these things. You know what? Most of the time, it's just about submitting to the Lord Jesus who's wanting to live through you anyway. It's Christ, Lord, I've got the Spirit of God in me. According to the Bible, there are fruits of the Spirit that I need to allow to flow out of me and flow out of the Savior ultimately who lives in us. Paul says this, he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Scott Devane died when I gave my life to the Lord. When I accepted him as my Savior, all of that doesn't matter anymore. What matters is the Christ life that needs to live through me. And every single one of us, if you've accepted Christ, have access to that. The question is, will we submit ourselves to what Christ wants to do through us? Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the truth of this verse. And Lord, quite frankly, Father, I pray that you would imprint this on our minds. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, not to emphasize ourselves. Lord, it's not that we can do all things. Lord, it's not that we have a life to live. But Father, it's not I, but it's Christ. Lord, I pray that we would be exactly what your word calls us when we accept you, Christians, little Christs. And I pray that each one of us would be a good representation of that. And Lord, we would allow Christ to shine through us. And Lord, we'd concentrate more about being who you want us to be instead of doing. Lord, we pray that you would, again, be with the Midwinter Retreat. Father, we pray that you would give Brother Tim the messages that we need to hear. Father, I pray that for myself. I pray, Lord, that you would convict my heart. Speak to me. Father, allow me to draw closer to you. Father, we will give you great praise and glory for answering that prayer. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen.